Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key topics of interest to our state. I'm Lynn Hatter. This past week, five of Florida's former governors gathered at the University of Florida to talk about what issues they feel will have the most impact on the state's future. Governors Ruben Askew, Bob Graham, Bob Martinez, Buddy McKay, and Charlie Crist talked about everything from the state of the environment to judicial merit retention. The discussion was presented by the Florida Law Review and moderated by Tampa attorney Ben Diamond.
I'd like to ask each of you just to start by giving us an opening few comments, a snapshot about the state of the state as you found it when you first took office. Governor Askew, let's start with you.
Well, like a lot of governors, I got introduced to a drop in revenue from the beginning and actually ran not saying I would never pass any taxes. I ran on a tax program, of which the key element was a corporate income tax to ask the corporation to pay their fair share. And the state has changed enormously. When I went in, it was $6 million, and when I left, it was $9 million. And most of us have lived here, and Florida is now, by some demographers, to be negative growth, you know, which is good news and bad news in a sense. But it was a fairly small state, all things considered. I don't think anyone that I know of accurately would predict the tremendous growth in population in Florida. And yet some of the problems that we faced there, we also face today. And sometimes they just won't go away. You have to deal with them and deal with them in an effective way. And we did. And I'm here to say that some of the programs that we adopted continue, and some of them are under attack. And the question is, you know, what's state government going to do with some issues which I personally think could, changing them could undermine some important elements in the progress that Florida has made, at least since I came upon the scene.
And we will get into a conversation about those issues in a second. Governor Graham?
Good, Ben. Thank you very much, and thank you for the university and the Poucher family for giving us this opportunity. I could not have been more fortunate when I started my governorship, because I started on the shoulders of a great leader. Ruben Askew had done and continues to do a phenomenal service to our state. I was, in many ways, the beneficiary of that service. We focused in three areas, three interrelated areas. First was education. With a state that's moving as rapidly as Florida, we need to be thinking not just to the next election or the next decade, but for the next generations. And the way in which we do that most fundamentally is an investment in education. Governor Askew had committed much of his administration to enhancing the quality of education at all levels in the state. We continue that. I'm a believer in setting goals, and we set a goal of moving Florida education into the top quartile of the nation. And I'm proud to say that insofar as our state university system, we accomplished that objective, and we're moving in that direction with the other aspects of education. Florida is a state which largely missed the Industrial Revolution. We still have an economy that is fundamentally as it was 100 years ago, built around agriculture, tourism, and services. We made a strong effort to try to diversify our economy, particularly into the industries of the mind. And I'm pleased to say that by the end of our administration and through much of Governor Martinez, we were able to have the per capita income of Floridians for the first time in our state's history be higher than the per capita income for the average American. That was an important accomplishment, one which unfortunately has eroded in the last period. I hope that maybe we'll talk about how we can reverse that erosion. But to Governor Martinez.
Well, I'm kind of in a unique position because I started lobbying for teachers back in 1966, so I had an opportunity to lobby with Bob and Ruben and, of course, Buddy. And so it takes me way back. I know that dates me, but the fact of the matter is I met these gentlemen while they were members of the Florida legislature. And so for a good part of my early life, I was involved in education in one form or another. Back in 1975, I decided I needed a career change, and I bought the family business. I think it was in May of 75. And in the very first month that I was operating the restaurant, right in the middle of lunch, which is a busy restaurant, the phone rings, the cashier calls me over and says, somebody's on the phone and says, this is the governor of Florida. And I said, somebody's just pulling your leg. He says, no, it's somebody says the governor of Florida's on the phone. So I go to the phone. Sure enough, it was Ruben Askew who had called. And as you all know, there's 5 water management districts in the state of Florida. And I live in the Southwest Water Management District. It was highly controversial. There were fights over water, drawdowns, you name it, it was going on. So he gets on the phone. He says, I want you to serve on the board, and there will be 2 vacancies in the near future. And I'd like for you to be a board member of Southwest Water Management District. So I said, Ruben, I have no clue what they do. And he said, well, they're regulators, and I'm not going to get off the phone until you accept this appointment. So I did, and that's how I got on the public side way back because of Ruben Askew. Otherwise, I don't have any restaurants I would have owned by now. But instead, I ended up entering public life instead of dealing with the government. And I think that to a great degree, led me to what I believe was important for the state of Florida, which, like Bob said, environment is a key issue. I had a great interest in water, still do. Had a great interest in preservation of land, and I still do. I also felt that the state didn't have good growth management, and I, while mayor of Tampa, chaired a task force for the big cities of Florida back in 1981-82, calling for growth management with DeGroves, Florida Atlantic, Bob?
Yes.
And finally, under Bob's administration, we did pass a growth management law, and it fell to my administration to implement it. So I think environment, growth management, transportation, we engaged in major transportation reform where we took the old Sunshine Parkway and made it into a turnpike system so we could grow the expressway systems in the state of Florida. So those are areas that I spent a great deal of time. The one that I didn't expect to deal with was corrections. And the federal court mandated that we had to release prisoners unless we built prisons. So I didn't run on building prisons. I ended up building prisons, mainly because the court said you better build prisons, and therefore we did. But I think the issues kind of stay the same. They move around from front burner to back burner. You know, you always have education, like Bob indicated, K through university system. You've always got health care, and that's a growing issue in the state of Florida. I'm personally heavily involved with that now. And, you know, you always have the judiciary, the criminal justice system, and corrections that will always be there. Some get more attention one cycle than another based on events that happen that causes a crisis, and you address it in a more formidable way, in a more visible way, perhaps with added dollars or reform or whatever it may be. So it's an exciting place to be. And so I think Florida's been blessed with good governors. I personally, I guess we're the last 4 natives that become governors. I think all those that have followed us have not been native of Florida, which doesn't mean anything. I'm just pointing that out, that we sort of grew up together in the state of Florida. And I'll close by saying that, you know, your views on water issues often is based on what you do. And, you know, as a mayor of the city of Tampa, you have a great concern with public safety, you have a great concern with water, you have a great concern with solid waste, and you take those things with you as you move into the next level of government, and that's basically what I did.
Governor McKay?
I ended up for 8 years as Lawton Child's lieutenant governor. I have to tell you, that was one of the great fun experiences of my life. He started out at about the same time all of us, a little earlier, as a matter of fact. But I was also Reuben Askew's lieutenant, and I was also Bob Graham's lieutenant. You can't get out of it, by the way. If you get around Reuben, you'll find suddenly you're a lieutenant. He just, as Bob said, he just sort of tells you, this is what's going to happen. It was a great time of change when we first started out. I remember we did a planning exercise called Scenario 10 Million. The state didn't have any planning. We were the fastest growing state in America. We were growing at about 1,000 net new residents a day, 1,000 net new residents a day, no planning. A lot of people saying, let the market take care of it. We don't need planning. We don't want government intrusion in your life. I often thought, you know, things go around and they come around, and here we are again with legislative leadership that's basically faced in the wrong direction, blaming things on the federal government and basically saying we don't need to plan. Let's do away with planning. In fact, that's what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years. Let's let the hidden hand of the market do that. So we're going to tell you stories about the last 40 years. You may find in those stories some themes that will be part of your careers in the next 40 years. Thank you.
You're listening to It's About Florida. We've been hearing from some of Florida's past governors as they discuss what issues will have the most impact on the state's future. And now, back to the conversation.
Well, let's start with that issue of planning and growth management. Governor Graham, you enacted and are signed into law the Growth Management Act of 1985, which Governor Martinez, you then played a role in implementing. My understanding is that the legislature this past year has abolished much of that law, and the state agency that was in charge of approving new commercial growth in Florida, the Department of Community Affairs, has been merged into a new agency called the Department of Economic Opportunity. And this was done under the concern that the planning apparatus is stifling our job growth. And Governor Martinez, maybe we could start with you, since this is an issue you worked on both as a mayor and governor. How do we find the right balance between creating the right environment to grow jobs, but also making sure we're not adversely affecting our quality of life?
Yeah, I became interested in what I call compact growth, urban compact growth, when I was in a water management district, when we first started to permit the use of water, groundwater. Taking water from the aquifer. And back in those days, I'm talking 1970s, you did have a number of urban counties. The most urban of all, really in density, was Pinellas County, which is in my neighborhood, and of course, Dade County. A lot of the counties that today you see as being large were not. And developers were moving in, putting up packaged waste plants and packaged water plants, and there seems to be a disjointed system of providing public services, putting burdens later on government, as it turned out. As a mayor, most cities have some organized fashion to deal with growth, whether it's streets, signalization, water, sewer, garbage pickup. Counties back then were not municipalities. Today, Hillsborough County is a municipal government for all practical purposes, got a huge population, but not in those days. I think what happened is that cities and counties in particular, the water management districts, continued to pass more regulations. Then growth management became more difficult for the development community in the sense that it took more time, there were more stops, there were more agencies from Fish and Wildlife to DER to you name it. They were all involved in engaging in this. So instead of killing growth management, in my view, they should have gone and looked at what is redundant. what is causing added cost, what is causing delay. And money, you know, delay is money. And we are a growth state, we're a growth state, and I imagine we will be at some point again. So I think that the easy way was to get rid of it. The more sensible way, in my view, was to have examined what could be done away with that would not jeopardize land use planning, that would not jeopardize the environment, and would still have a semblance of order throughout the state. My guess is that when growth begins again, that you'll see a pendulum swing once more, that we have to do something. Probably it got passed because not much was going on. There's hardly any development was taking place at the time it was done. People in politics are looking for ways by which they can show they want to grow the economy, and those things all have a play. I mean, you have to look at it from the eyes of what is. At the time I was in public life, there was 100,000 people a day, I guess, and coming into the state of Florida. It was different, you know, than it is today. But again, I'll repeat in closing, I think it was a mistake to do away with it. I think it would have been much better to clean it up and make it more functional.
And I want to talk more about that issue. I see that Governor Crist has made it, and at this moment, let me introduce the 44th governor of Florida, Charlie Crist.
Governor, how are you? Good to see you. Governor, how are you? My pleasure. Good to see you, Governor. How are you doing? Governor, how are you, sir?
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm late.
No problem.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Governor Crist, we were talking about growth management, and we're happy you could join us.
Thank you. Jumping
off of something you said, Governor Martinez, one of the issues tied to the growth is Florida's water. And I know that's an issue that is very much on people's minds now because water fuels our economy. It's what attracts our tourists to our state. Governor McKay, how do you see how we're doing in terms of managing and protecting our state's water supply now?
You look today and you see that what governed this, what determines the future of water, is not those three laws and laws like them, but three other laws. First one is the law of Lucy from Peanuts. And Lucy says to Linus one day, Linus, there is no problem in the world that is so big and pressing that it cannot be put off. So I take that as a good, that's one of the laws that controls what's happening in Florida. So take minimum flows and levels. It's now been 41, 42 years. Guess what? We haven't developed minimum flows and levels. You might also be surprised to know that streams are going dry, springs are going dry, lakes are going dry, and there is a pretty good common sense evidence that we may have already passed the point of minimum flows and levels. So there we are. Now, the next law is the law of unintended consequences. Somebody got upset a few years ago, and they said, all right, 2014 is the deadline, at which point we're going to say these are the minimum flows and levels. We're going to measure it and determine it. The unintended consequence was everybody said, oh, my gosh, they're going to have a deadline. We better get our application in before the deadline because we think we've already passed it. So the unintended consequence was now they're accelerating the effort to get consumptive use permits. Although Florida's not growing, the effort to get consumptive use permits is going up. Very interesting thing that didn't happen because of the law we passed. The third law, which is the law that's now coming into being, and it's going to have a great deal to do with your law student's future career. And this is Mark Twain's law that says, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. That's the law that's going to control Florida for the next 40 years. And let me tell you the logical conclusion of these laws that we had nothing to do with. Lawyers are already figuring out litigation strategies. I can tell you that. Good lawyers, high-paid lawyers, are figuring out how we're going to litigate this so our clients get water. Very good public relations firms are figuring out how we're going to talk the people of Florida into the idea that existing residents are going to pay the cost of desalinization for the new growth we're going to have because we passed the minimum flows and levels. That's the third. And the third is good lobbyists, some probably working for Holland and Knight, are already lobbying the Congress to pay for the desalinization plans. So what would you say if you had to conclude something like that? The next 40 years is going to be a law that's entitled E Pluribus Suum. And we've got a governor now who believes in the hidden hand of the marketplace. And every now and then you can see the vague outlines of the hidden hands of the marketplace regarding water. Some people think it's a fist, a clenched fist. Other people think the hidden hand is a fist with the middle finger sticking up. Thank you.
Well, those were excellent comments. Thank you. Well, Governor Chris, since you're just joining us, speaking of water, when you were governor, you were tasked with presiding over the response by this state during one of the largest oil spills in the nation's history. In fact, I think it was the largest. Yeah. You and almost the entire Florida cabinet relocated to the panhandle to deal with that response. Governor Graham, I know, has since worked as on the President's Commission on the oil spill. What have we learned from that experience in terms of protecting our state's resources, and where do you see the future of offshore oil drilling in Florida?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Before I do, first I want to apologize for running late. The best intentions. I was in Miami last night at an event for President Obama, and had scheduled a very early flight this morning from Miami to Orlando, and Josh and Jason were kind enough to pick me up at the Orlando airport and get me here, but we left Miami a little late, so that's why I ended up being a little bit tardy, so please forgive me and thank you for your indulgence. What do we learn from the oil spill? Well, I think, number one, the last thing you ever want to do is drill off the coast of Florida. And there's been, you know, whenever you have gas prices that go high, a couple summers ago and more recently around the $4 a gallon level, people are tempted to try to utilize our resources here at home in order to reduce that expense. But I think the greatest wake-up call of all time in terms of how environmentally sensitive Florida is and how dependent we are on tourism as a very important part of our economy was evidenced by the BP oil spill. And, you know, the notion that we would ever entertain the thought of drilling close to the Florida coast, if you love Florida as much as I know all these gentlemen do and I do too, and I'm sure our audience, then you would never do it. There are just too many other ways to produce energy, solar, wind, things that a place like the Sunshine State, of all places, should be leading in. And I hope that we move in that direction soon. But I also learned something else. I really learned a lot about this administration in Washington and this president. And this is not meant to be a commercial. It's just a statement of fact that I experienced in really getting to know President Obama that much more. At the time, you may recall, I was a Republican governor. I'm now an independent. And at any rate, he obviously a Democrat. And, you know, this was a guy who he and his administration, the vice president, members of their cabinet, in addition to ours, as you correctly pointed out, Ben, it was all hands on deck at the Gulf Coast to try to help save our beaches. And I will forever be grateful to the Obama administration for the effort that they put into holding BP's feet to the fire in terms of a $20 billion reserve to help businesses not only in Florida but all along the Gulf Coast.
And that bipartisanship approach that we had as it came to this natural disaster, or unnatural disaster that we were dealing with, was, I think, what we desperately need in Washington today. And I think most people realize that, you know, if you don't work together, you can't get stuff done. And it's just common sense, whether it's an oil spill or a hurricane or an economic disaster, that if people work together for the betterment of all, Florida wins and America wins. And that's what I've learned.
You're here. Thank you for those comments. Governor Askew, we've had a very good discussion about some of the environmental and water issues, and I want to shift gears, if I may. Governor Crist alluded to the fact that there is an election coming up. And while I don't necessarily want to get into politics today, there are three of our Florida Supreme Court justices on the ballot this November with the question, should they be retained in office? And that is part of the merit retention system that you set up, Governor Askew. And this election, it seems, has that process has become more politicized. The justices themselves have gone out to raise money. The Florida Bar has launched an educational campaign. The Republican Party of Florida has announced that they are opposed to the justices being retained. What are your views on what's happening now, since this is the system that you set up?
For goodness sakes, we have to keep the judges independent. Make no mistake, if your rights are at stake, I guarantee you, don't look to the executive or the legislative branches of our government in this nation for relief. They won't protect your rights at the most critical time. Look to the courts to do it, because the courts, if they're independent to do it, that's all you can expect, an impartial, independent court. And I just feel that the merit retention, I didn't invent merit selection and retention. Most of the states in the nation use it too. It's called the Missouri Plan, and we adopted it. But I believe one of the most pressing issues facing Florida government right now is to ensure that you keep, as Sandra Day O'Connor said, keep the judicial branch independent, so each judge can make it based on the evidence and on the evidence alone. And that's my speech for the day.
Well, it's a great speech. On behalf of the students of the University of Florida College of Law, we want to thank you, Governor Crist, Buddy McKay, Bob Martinez, Bob Graham, and Ruben Askew, and thank all of you for joining us today. Thank you.
Thanks to the University of Florida and the Florida Law Review, you've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter, and for our regular host, Tramell Gomes, Taylor Cox provides technical assistance. Please join us again next week for more discussions on the issues impacting our state.